Not your hearts be disquieted or timid. John 14:27. Why do we struggle? So the fact that we're always struggling with something because we have faith or we have fear. See clearly, don't you, that faith and fear are on the same yardstick. You are fearing, you are trying to have faith. And if you have faith, you are having fear of something. Well, that is not the faith that was really meant when Jesus spoke about the faith that makes you whole. His faith was a different faith altogether. And you will see that we always struggle with opposites. So when we have faith, we're struggling with fear, are we not? And so it goes on continuously. When we begin to discern the activities of the mind, we find that there is a continuous struggle with opposites, which means only one thing, frustration. With most, there is a continuous struggle through reactions to conditions and circumstances that surround them. This is common in all shades of life, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, the great and the small. Everyone is struggling because they are struggling with opposites. Now, it's easy to see what you are doing if you look into your mind. But if you just keep on struggling, of course, you cannot see what you're doing. But immediately discern your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions and reactions, you see clearly what's taking place. Most people are reacting only. There is no action at all. You know, when you have action, when you're acting, you will find that reaction disappears. Your reaction is only on what we call the intellectual level. It is in the mind. But in action, there is something different. There is something more concrete. There is activity. Some struggle with ill health, some struggle with circumstances, other struggles with good and evil, and this struggle goes on incessantly. We have the idea of health, and we struggle with ill health. We have the idea of plenty, and we struggle with lack. We have the idea of success, and we struggle with failure. We hold the idea of freedom, we struggle with our conditioning. We hold the idea of good while we struggle with evil. So you see, here is a continuous struggle all the time. And why? Because it is the self that does it. Very few people understand this because they are caught up. It's easy for me to give you an idea or an idea of something, but an idea is of no value at all because of the fact that an idea is not the thing itself. And what most people are doing is giving you ideas. And what I'm trying to do is to take all your ideas away from you, all your images and your beliefs, so that you will not be struggling. And when all this struggling ceases, there is something that is eternal and ever-present, that is living. That livingness which is within you is the reality. That livingness, when it is realized, then you are living. You are not only merely reacting, creating ideas in response to another idea, or an idea in counteracting to another idea. There is a livingness that is alive, and that is action. You see clearly then that the self is always in the way. And what is the self anyhow? There cannot be a separate self, because there is only one whole. God is not divided, life is not divided, livingness is not divided. But there is a division in man's mind with the self. And that self must be an illusion because it is separate and distinct. The livingness is not separate. The life in you and the life in me and the life in the whole universe is one. There is no separation. And that is the cause of most people. Trouble is their struggling all the time. While this conflict goes on, we create a greater burden. When one struggle is over, another begins. Our minds are filled with the effects of our struggle and therefore are incapable of true direction. How can this turmoil come to an end? This is the question. But the answer does not come because we are caught up in the struggle. Now let us reason this out and see how this struggle comes about and how this struggle comes to an end. When we rebel against anything, we struggle, do we not? That is so. So we react to our conditioning because we are conditioned. Is that not so? When we are conditioned, we react to our conditioning. But how do we become conditioned? Life doesn't condition you. God doesn't condition you. You condition yourselves. But how do you condition yourselves? Because you struggle, you rebel, you struggle, you create opposites. You're continually creating opposites in your mind, and because you're doing so, you're holding on to an ideal, and yet you're struggling with the opposite. Nothing external to us has any power of its own, so the trouble lies within ourselves. We have lost our God-given power of dominion. On the other hand, if we understand the cause, we would not rebel, but work from within to remove the cause. The cause can only be removed when we understand ourselves, our cravings, our desires, our antagonisms, our greed, our jealousies, our hates, etc., and how they come about. It is easy to see how they come about. The great thing is to see how they can end. If you see then what they are, how false they are, they will dissolve away and drop from you, and then you are free. But if you start rebelling against the conditioning, you are creating an ideal of something that is in opposition to your conditioning. Therefore, you hold on to your ideal while you struggle with your conditioning, and consequently, you create a greater burden. The presence is always present, and there is no such thing as lack, no evil, no ill health, hate, or the like in the presence. And the presence is the only reality and all there is. If the presence is all there is because there can't be anything else, God is not divided. Is there anything else beside God? I asked you that question. There cannot be, because He's infinite in nature. Can there be any other substance but His? There cannot, because He is infinite in nature. Can there be any other life but His? There cannot, because He is infinite in nature. Can there be any other living? There cannot, because He is infinite in nature. Therefore, don't you see, the whole thing lies in the presence being the only thing there is, the presence. And because it is the living presence, life alone created everything out of itself. First of all, we begin to see the substance of matter. We begin to dissolve matter into its atomic fall. And we find then, we begin to break these things up. There is nothing at all, as it were, that you could touch or feel or see. It disappears into nothingness. And what does it disappear onto? Then matter is not separated from energy, because matter separated from energy does not exist. Therefore we see that energy itself cannot exist by itself. It's an intelligence in action. And this intelligence is the fundamental activity of the whole universe upon which everything is built. And life is intelligence. That is an active principle of life. But then you see, there is the dual nature of life which is not separated from itself. That is the consciousness. Consciousness then becomes the core or the directing power of life. Whatever you are conscious of, so it is unto you. Consciousness directs the intelligence to outpicture according to what the consciousness holds, and therefore that is why you have your troubles. You do not see that the law is this. It cannot be anything else. But the consciousness directing an intelligence that is infallible in its nature and according to your conscious awareness of that particular thought or image, so is it produced. That is the universe. Therefore, don't you see, life itself is the cause of everything, because consciousness and intelligence is life. You can never see intelligence, you don't know what it is. You have never seen consciousness, you don't know what it is, but you know that it is. I'm conscious. Supposing now that you dissolve away all your thoughts, your images, your beliefs, your antagonisms, your struggling that you have in your mind, what would happen when you dissolve all these things away in your mind? Your mind would become quiet, would it not? There'd be no resistance and no struggle. And because there'd be no resistance and no struggle, the mind would become quiet. Not a forced quietness, that some people think that they can sit down in the corner and hold their mind in subjection. That's like putting a little child in the corner, putting his face to the corner because the mind is continually agitated. Therefore, there is no quietness in there because there is continuous struggle. But if you then saw all this in your mind and knew and understood it, what would happen to this? It would pass away, would it not? Because whenever you understand something, it just disappears. Is that not so? All right. Then your mind becomes peaceful and quiet. Not a forced quietness, not a quietness brought about by your willing to it be quiet, but a quietness that is in itself part of its own structure, a part of its own peacefulness. And that peace, being eternal and ever-present, is in the mind. In the deeper stratas of the consciousness, there peace lies. When the consciousness then on the outer surface is not irritated, is not affected by your struggle, because you begin to understand what it is, it passes away and the deeper stratas rise to the surface. Then that quietness is there, and in that peace and in that quietness, reality is experienced. You begin to experience reality. And you find that there is no separation between yourself and your brother. You find there that you are the whole, that the one becomes the whole, because the one is the whole, and the whole is the one. When we rebel against anything, we struggle, do we not? So we react to our conditioning because we are conditioned. Nothing external to us has any power of its own. So we see how these things have no power of its own, therefore everything is created within ourselves. Then how do these things come about into being? When this is known, struggle ceases. The problem then is ourselves. But how can we dispense with this self that is the cause of all this misery? We can only do this by seeing how false the self is, with all its makeup, which is illusionary. It is this illusion of the self that must be dissolved through deep discernment of what it is. Therefore, there cannot be a separate self. It's an utter impossibility. What is that separate self, then? I told you before, if you look into your mind, you will see what that separate self is. It's your creed, your desire, your hopes, your pleasures, your pains. All these things belong to the self. All your struggling belongs to the self. All the opposites belong to the self. When that which is real in itself takes its place through the quietness of the mind, you will see that there is no struggle. There is only a consciousness that is the controlling factor in the whole universe, and the intelligence, the active principle, outpictures what the consciousness directs. That's the law. And as you see, that's the law, then there is no struggle, because you know what is behind all creation, and you know your own creativeness is not separate, infinite, but one. So the consciousness of God is the consciousness of man. The Son of Man becomes the Son of God when he realizes who he is. Mary, switch that off, will you?